Oh,
Right.
wait, you're drinking coffee and it's like fucking 9:30 at
Yeah,
night?
that's what I made.
Let's get
That's
it.
what I
Dude,
made.
you are literally, he's literally
Cortisol,
the,
he's like
he's the,
not
the, no,
good.
no, you don't understand. He's the dumbest smart kid I've ever met in my life. Literally.
Yes.
That's
This should be,
mean.
Billy, this is the cold opening. Your brother is literally the dumbest smart kid I've ever met. He's a glutton for punishment.
No, he's
It's so
not.
true.
That's
It's
mean.
true. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. And thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled The Earth is Not Flat, featuring Drew, Jen, and the one and only Logan Flat. And on today's show, we play the domain game featuring DeFiU.com, Hydrotherapy.com, and Perceptive.io. And then we've got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including Akira.com, futuretech.com, topform.com, and crit.com. It's Drew's last time on Sherpa while he's in the Far East, and it's Logan's first time on the show since I've been the host. So this is a long episode with a ton of great domain content, and all that and more is coming up here now on Domain Sherpa. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcasts platforms as well. And please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, and all that good stuff where you can, and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows now with Muse.ai, which provides new search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. Props to our sponsor, Dan.com, the number one place in the world to buy and sell your domains, with a special platform made for domain investors. And special shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, specializing in domain acquisition, sales, and appraisal. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, or you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. With that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain investors ourselves. These are the experts. These are the OGs. We've got a pseudo-special guest today, which I'm extremely excited about. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We talk about what's going on with them, do some AKAs, some related things, some unrelated things. We'll see what kind of tangents we might get off on. Then we got segment two, which is the domain game, where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score. We declare a winner and maybe even give out some swag to said winner. Then segment three, we got NameJet and a Jet, sponsored by our friends at NameJet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction. And then last but not least, we got grand closing, where we'll discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention and promote anything they want to talk about that we have not already discussed. With that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my homegirl Jen Sale, aka Aussie Osborne, aka Olivia Newton Jen, aka Rockadile Dundee, aka Dingo Star, aka Mel Born to Be Wild, aka Jen. If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it because our stuff never goes on sale, aka Sipping on Jen and Juice. AKA the Ever Queen. What's up, girlfriend? How we doing?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you so much for asking, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm
How
doing
are
great.
You doing?
I'm doing awesome. We were off on some kind of conversation off, off stage, right? Where Drew was referring to me as the dumbest smart kid he knows. So, we might see some of that in the cold open. We'll see what Billy does with that.
Truths are self-evident.
We political right now. All right, well, you know what, let's keep it moving. I'll continue to do the intros because I want to get to the one, although Jen, yours matters, but I want to get to the one that really matters today. And but on the way, I've got one more to do in the meantime. To my lower right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. Never Gonna Give Drew Up, a.k.a. Greybeard the Domain Pirate. Checking in. This will be the last show that he checks in from the Far East during this particular adventure and trek. And how we feeling, man? What's good?
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Two more days of Chiang Mai, then we're going to go hop on a sailboat, sail for 6 days on the west coast of Thailand, go check out, some of those little islands, you know, like when Leonardo DiCaprio filmed The Beach.
Ooh, okay.
But we're gonna just go sail around and check out some islands. We're going to stay away from most of the touristy places and hotspots, but and then we're gonna, you know, just kick it two nights of posh in Bangkok, and then that's it. We're out. It's a wrap. 2 months. It flew by. I can't believe it. But I'm also very, very ready to get home, get back to my routine. I think we should do a debriefing episode. It'll be like the Domain Sherpa, you know, travel extravaganza.
Yeah, like episodes. a Fromer's guide.
Yeah, you know, it'd be actually an interesting angle for sure. But to have like a little bit, like, you know, it's interesting, right? What would we get into? Is we get into digital assets, right? And so the people that are really experts in these subjects are, you know, they tend to be, let's say, flexible. They live in different places. They travel a lot. You know, which I think could be said about everybody on here except you, JT. And
continue. Go ahead. Keep
talking. And
I'm just taking notes.
I think that there, you know, no, it's interesting. I think that there would actually be this like really unique perspective on travel, unique destinations, how to travel, types of travel. Things to do in certain places that would probably resonate with most of our audience.
And I've heard from more than one person about, you know, they're enjoying hearing about your travels. You know, people are like, it's super interesting. Love hearing about what Drew's got going on in the Far East. And I guess if we were guiding people in their travels, that would actually make us actual Sherpas, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
totally.
In line with the definition.
I like it. I think we're onto something. I think we should interview people that come back from like cool travel and like get a debrief.
Yeah. Well, I think, look, a lot of us are
Domain
digital
Sherpa
nomads.
Travel debrief. I like that. Domain Sherpa travel debrief.
All right, man, we can make it happen. We know we've got lots of digital nomads that are part of our circle. So there's no question that, you know, and some travel we do together, right? We all were, we got together out in LA. A bunch of us got together out in Vegas. I mean, there's definitely some things to do in and around that stuff. But I think that the trip that you're taking right now is particularly interesting because it's somewhere that not a lot of people have gone, especially the different places that you've gone in the process, right? You guys weren't just in Bangkok. You've been in Chiang Mai. You've been in Laos. You've been in Vietnam. You're going to be on a boat, like Lonely Island. And, just living, man. It's really all good. So we're all just living vicariously.
It's been an amazing trip. I will say 2 months is a long time to travel. I basically come to a couple of conclusions. I'll just shout those out and then we can move on. For me, I've come to the conclusion that the ideal period of time for, let's say, holiday travel, decompression, relaxation, etc., is 3 weeks. You need 1 week to basically decompress. Then you've got basically roughly 10 days of like, all right, kill it. Just you're chilling, you're doing whatever you're doing, but you're in a different frame. Your perspective has changed. You've adjusted to whatever time zones or whatever. You're on a new plane. Okay. And then, you know, you got the last couple of days that are just anxiety of, okay, it's time to go. So I think 3 weeks is like the ideal decompression travel time. If you're going like culture heavy, you're trying to really get to know a place, I think like 5 weeks is great. Right. And 5 weeks was kind of the turning point for me where I was like, all right, I'm actually really ready to get back now and like get back to my routine. I'm sitting here at a very small table in a very uncomfortable wooden chair. This is how I've been working. I got It's a good thing I'm in Thailand. I'm getting, you know, Thai massage 3-4 times a week to make up for this damn wooden chair. But otherwise, I'd be basically paralyzed.
Well, you have multiple Herman Miller chairs at your home office.
Yeah, I want my Herman Miller back. I want my three monitors back. I want my sauna back. I want, you know, I want my comforts. I want my routine. More than anything,
I always miss my bed whenever I'm away for an extended period of time. Like, I just have 100%. This like thing about my sheets, pillow, my bed, my aircon, like just that comfort space. It's like I was away for like 3 days this weekend and I was just like, I just want to go home. Yeah. Like, but I have done like the extended, like you, like I think the longest I did was 4 or 6 weeks over in Africa. And that was in like South Sudan. So that was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. That's different. That's something extra.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, great. All right, now, can I please, I want to move on because I'm very, very excited for the first time.
You know what? Hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay. Do that. Okay. No. I was just going to come back because I actually had a domain store to tie into this, which happened totally coincident.
All right. Do you want to?
Two domain stores, actually.
Let me finish the intro.
Do the intro for Logan. Guest, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So for the first time since I've been host of Domain Sherpa, we've got the one and only Logan Flat, a.k.a. Wolverine, a.k.a. Logan Paul, a.k.a. Sweet and Logan Flat, a.k.a. Logan the Earth is Not Flat, a.k.a. Logan Flat and Scruggs. What's up, dude? So for those of you who don't know, founder of Media Code, private investment fund focused on digital real estate, basically a domain name portfolio company, founder of Gain Financial, creating and optimizing digital assets for income, registered his first domain name in 1998, which was actually powerwealth.com, started investing in domains in 2009 after the global financial calamity of 2008, where his long, short hedge fund startup went nowhere. Fast 2,000 plus names in his portfolio. He's a Texas guy. He's a CFA. He's an all around great dude. You may have heard or seen him most recently on Andrew Alleman's podcast, and now we have the pleasure of having him on the show with us. I saw him in Vegas. I said, "Man, when are you coming back on Sherpa?" He said, "When are you gonna have me on?" And here we are. What is up, dude? How are you?
Well, thanks for having me. Good to be here. Things are going great. You know, we did 2 months last year in China and Thailand. So we're planning this year to go back to do more time in China. Of course, that's where my wife's family is, but also looking at, or definitely doing Singapore as well, plus maybe Vietnam, where I want to find out more from Drew about his trip. But we're looking at either Laos or Vietnam, probably most likely for a long family 2 months away. But we love getting out of the country and, you know, touring around and really getting to see her family that's, you know, back in China still. So
whereabouts in China?
They're in Shandong province in a city called Shouguang near Qingdao area. Mm-hmm. Kind of northern China.
You know, so I saw in one of the blogs or a little interview that you did, and I don't know, that your wife is in the wholesale seafood industry. Is that right?
That's correct.
What?
So have you and Drew had this conversation? Because
no, we've had we've
had this conversation. He just doesn't remember it.
Okay. Wait, but all right. Talk to me. Talk to me.
So you supplied scallops.
I need to get your wife on the show. Listen. Chinese seafood wholesalers. Those are my people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those are my people.
I know. So you supplied scallops, right?
We bleed the same. Yeah. I was primarily scallops. Yeah.
Okay. So she has buyers who buy from companies like the one you work for, who buy scallops from one company, they buy crabs from others and lobsters from others. But she's the person who's going into the restaurants and actually selling all this stuff to the restaurateurs or to the chefs.
Okay. And so then she's a local wholesale distributor.
Texas. If Texas is local, she's all over Texas.
Yeah. Local meaning she's not like, you know, she's not a trader. She's actually a like almost food service.
Yeah, I mean, she's going into the restaurants and talking to them, food service. getting the
food,
contract.
We would say food service.
Yep. Exactly. And but she has to keep her finger on the pulse of everything with all the different types of seafood.
100%.
So she's, you know, on the phone all day long talking to different people, buyers and sellers and everything else. So You know, I'm up here in my little office, man. All quiet to my little laptop, but she's talking on the phone all day long in three different languages. Yeah. She's speaking usually in English, Mandarin, and a little bit of Spanish because of a lot of the chefs and everything or something, you know, from Mexico.
Totally.
So.
Oh, that's wild, dude. Yeah. Oh, see,
I love it.
In a small world. Speaking of family, since I kind of, you know, brought that up, just a big shout out to our boy Matthew Zeiker, who welcomed baby number one. Chris is a grandfather. We are super excited. The Media Options family continues to grow, and it is a beautiful, wonderful thing. So big shout out to Matthew and mom and the baby. And so,
yeah, all congratulations all around.
Yeah, congratulations.
Very happy day.
It is good in this, in all this chaos.
Imagine being born on Bitcoin 50,000 day.
Bitcoin, is it the last time? Is it the last time to get Bitcoin in the 40s or what?
I suspect you'll have one more opportunity, but before we get back to, into the 40s, and when I say 40s, it's probably like 48. Before you're going to get an opportunity to get it at 40 in the 40s again, or even 50s for that matter. You'll probably see something in the 80 to 120 range, and then a crash.
All right,
and then late
correction. You know, a correction.
Well said.
A correction. Yeah, yeah. People tend to get exuberant, you know, and then you got to, you got to slap the spit out of their mouth.
You got to correct them.
And then take another run at it. And I think the second, you know, I keep telling everybody it's going to be a two hump camel. That's what we're looking at. Two hump camel. We're in the first hump. That first hump is probably going to top out in that 85 to 120 range, back down to that 48, something like that, 42, 48. And then off to the races for somewhere between August and November 2026, 2025. Probably, you know, I'm going to say 150 conservative, 225.
That's it. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
That's it. That's my prediction.
By the way, not financial advice. Nothing on here is financial advice.
Absolutely not. Although it is a commodity, and so actually there's no repercussions.
Well, I don't
suggesting
know. All I'm
but
saying.
Nonetheless, it NFA. Is not financial advice. It is simply my expectation, and I, as you all know, love to put my money where my mouth is.
That's right.
So,
you had a domain
I just
story?
Want to talk about seafood. Can we just go back to seafood?
You said you had a domain story.
Well, so you know, we're tying up this the tail end of this Southeast Asia trip, and it was funny. I didn't even put two and two together, but I was walking around in one of the there's a neighborhood here called Niman in Chiang Mai, and that's kind of where all the expats are. It's where all the digital nomads are. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's got so much going on. Great restaurants, great cafes, unbelievable coffee. I bumped into this co-working space called Yellow. And it turns out it's the guy that I sold Yellow.com to years ago, Alexis. But, you know, he doesn't use Yellow.com for just a co-working space. He has a whole empire called Yellow. He's got Yellow Capital, but you know he lives here most of the time, and so he's got a whole thing going on. He's got like a really nice coffee shop. The whole building painted yellow. It's called Yellow Cafe, right? He's got Yellow Co-working, which is the number one co-working in Chiang Mai. Beautiful, brand new, super modern. Like looks like a WeWork, right? But on steroids. Super nice. So anyways, that was really cool. We were communicating. Unfortunately, I missed him. He actually got out of Dodge, which brings me to another point. Anybody visiting Chiang Mai, turns out you do not want to be here between the end of February. Like we're actually leaving in 2 days and we're leaving just in time. Like we wake up now and we just start to smell this smoky smell in the morning. And this whole northern area of Thailand, in particular Chiang Mai, from late February through basically the end of April, the farmers are burning their fields and the air pollution becomes second worst in the world for a period of like 2 months here. Only behind, I forget which city in China, it might be Shanghai actually. But it literally becomes the second worst air quality in the world, which is shocking because the rest of the time it's like couldn't be more beautiful. It's this beautiful valley and crisp blue skies and beautiful. But so anyways,
well, that's pretty cool.
the yellow.com, right? And then number two is this other guy who we helped to acquire a domain. I'm not going to mention the domain name, but it was a very big domain. It was a seven-figure name. And he listened to my podcast with Tim Ferriss and heard that I was going to be in Thailand. And he reached out and he's like, "Hey, mate, where are you going to be in Thailand? I live in Thailand. You know, come check me out. Oh, by the way, I've got a mega yacht. Why don't you come out on it?" So anyways, when we go out sailing next week, hopefully I'm going to connect. He's going to be in exactly the same place. And hopefully I'm going to connect and go check this guy out on his yacht and see how he's living.
Oh, wow. See, look at that. It is a small world. Anyways, and all as roads, we
say, all roads lead to domains.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So, Logan, speaking of domains, and so you're talking about you're up there in your little office and, you know, kind of click-clacking away. So, you know, what takes up a lot of your time as far as, you know, are you acquiring a lot of names on a daily basis? Are you working on outbounding, trying to find deals? Like, what's your, you know, what's taking up a lot of your time sort of in general lately?
It's more, you know, looking at the auctions, trying to find out, you know, what I want to buy, what I want to avoid. You know, I'm also looking at hand regs here and there because I do a lot of CCTLD investing. Okay. So there are hand regs that are still out there that I'm looking for. So I'm kind of, you know, kind of trolling through all the streams, looking at different inventory to acquire potentially. And, you know, I only really do that in the mornings. My afternoons are more, you know, I take my daughter to work every morning and start kind of late, taking her to school and everything. But then in the afternoons, I go to the gym, you know, work out, do the spa and everything else, things like that. So then I pick my daughter up at the end of the day, and that's pretty much it. So I don't do a lot of work during the day. It's after at night when they're asleep, I'll come back up here and I'll do, you know, more work, a few more hours in there at nighttime. So it's in the morning. And then late at night that I'm up here hunting and pecking and looking for things.
Are you still messing around in financial markets a lot?
Not so much. I'm not a trader. You know, I'm looking for, you know, stocks to invest in and buy and hold, but not so much buying and selling. I've done that in the past and lost my shirt, and I'm more of a Warren Buffett kind of buy and hold kind of guy. So
okay, yeah. Cool. So I didn't realize. I just heard in JT's intro he was talking about that, you know, previously had a long short hedge fund. No.
Well, I worked at one for a short while, and then I was starting my own in 2008.
Okay,
but the day I was going to start raising I was going to start raising funds was the day the Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy and the market crashed. So it went nowhere fast.
Yeah, how'd that cold calling go?
Not so great.
All right, well, cool, man. You know, it's funny, you've got sort of this prototypical, like, you know, I think the domainer lifestyle that a lot of folks, you know, aspire to have, where quality time, you're doing your thing, you're doing it well. You mentioned the CCTLD stuff, and I remember, you know, some of that in some of our prior just NamesCon conversations and things. Where are you at with .AI? Do you have any .AI domains? Were you ahead of the curve on that at all? What's going on there?
Yeah, I was buying them from the auctions back in like 2017, 2018, getting some one words. I've got things like Integer, Wealth, Excel, things like that, plus others.
Awesome.
Yeah. I sold more .AI last year. Sold a couple other .AI. I undersold some .AIs in like 2021. Okay. Unfortunately, if I'd held on to them, they would have been much better. And I've got Procure out on a long-term LTO right now. So, you know, I've had some pretty good ones that are in my inventory and are in my portfolio, and just waiting for the right buyers to come along.
Wealth.ai is a banger. That's a great name.
Yeah, that is really
a great name. Don't sell that one cheap.
I don't plan on it.
Yeah,
don't play it. Yeah.
What would you? You know, quite frankly, I can't claim to be an expert in how to price in .ai domain because I truly don't have.
Drew just said claims not to be an expert in something. Go ahead.
You are so full of it. I don't claim to be an expert in anything other than things that I'm an expert in. And I think, you know, it's pretty fair to say I'm an expert in domain names and how to value a premium.com. I think it's fair to say, you know, I'm an expert in a few other weird things. But I don't claim to be an expert in all that many things, to be quite honest.
Oh, I'm just
But what would you price Wealth.ai at? I know what I would price it at. I'm curious. I'm happy to say what I would say. I don't know.
I've got an anchor price, let's say, of like $1 million right now. Okay. But obviously, if a compelling offer came along, I would, you know, certainly want to talk about it. But I've definitely bought it because of wealth management and the, you know, algorithmic trading that has been going on quite some time using AI. I'm just waiting for the right kind of, it's not a startup. It's maybe a spinoff more likely, where a company wants to hang their hat on the brand wealth.ai. In terms of managing 100%. Wealth using artificial intelligence. So that can be a well-to-do company who's going to do that. So that's why I'm starting at around $1 million for that. Whether I get that or not, who knows? Because it depends on how long this trend in .ai lasts. I do think it is somewhat of a hype phase right now. But if I can ride that hype phase and get some sales in, that would be great.
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's interesting. I saw Elliot Silver real quick posted this week a point that I really liked that he made about lease and payment plan deals, that he was like, you know, he's careful not to do those on names that are very like sort of trend driven, right? Because it's the idea of like, all right, I'm going to put somebody on a 3-year payment plan where they're going to pay $2,000 a month as opposed to, you know, paying a big, you know, just getting more money in hand right away for a name that might not have the same value in not too long of a time frame. So I thought that was a really good point. I like that. I mean, it's common sense, but I thought when Elliot posted it, that resonated. I thought that was cool. You know, we've had some of those same kind of conversations here. So yeah, man. All right. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, I think we've got through most of the, you know, the intros at least, you know, so Billy, I'll have to mark whatever time this is when we actually move into the domain game. This is where it's going to get interesting. Jen, do you have a domain game name? Or are we going to have to come back?
Domain game name.
No. No, I know you said I do not.
All right. Well, then we're going to just keep it moving directly to Drew and let Drew set it off with whatever name he wants to talk about. And
means I gotta think. Okay.
Don't be tricksy. Just
this is the Jeopardy music.
I'm not even trying to.
I've got one. If you want me to go ahead?
No, you can.
All right, you go.
All right, that's fine. I was going to say we'll cut some. If there's a big old dead space of time, Billy will just fix that so it's not awkward. But it's fine. We can either wait for Drew or we can start with Logan.
Go with Logan.
We'll start with the guest.
Okay. I've got a sale and it's defiu.com. So defiu.com.
Oh.
So defiu.com. defiyou.com.
Like decentralized finance.
Yeah, DeFi U.
Is it
right.
U, the letter U, or Y-O-U?
The letter U.
D-E-F-I-U.
U.
Yep. DeFi U. Yep. Okay.
I like it. All right. Put it on your phone or some other way to display what you think it's all for. All right. Drew, do you have your phone with your guests?
I'm still looking for a freaking name. Okay. DeFiU. All right.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Let's flip. All right. Okay. We were kind of all in sort of in pocket. Drew is at 4,895. I'm at 7,499. And Jen is at $9,999. So all kind of within the same 5K window. Are we close? Are we in business? Who is the winner this round?
Jen won, but she's not close.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's awesome. Dude.
Good job, Logan.
All right.
Damn. That's
good news.
So I sold it for $38,500.
What
is crazy? Congratulations. You price that name at that price.
So that's awesome.
Congratulations. Centralized finance.
So real quick, I was calculating something else earlier today, and then the number that was on my phone was $34,785. For a second, I'm like, this is like a number already here. I should just leave it. And then I'm like, no, it's too high. And that would have actually still been under what you sold it for. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, well, how did you sell
it? Stop. You lost.
No, but I'm saying how I could have won, potentially, and been closer than you.
This is...
you know? So in a lot of ways, I did win. No. so well, talk to me. Where'd you sell it?
How'd
you sell
it? The scary thing is that he actually believes that. He's telling himself that in the back of his head. He really believes it.
There's an angle.
Logan, tell us. Tell us the story. Tell us.
Okay, so the other kicker side of this is that I hand registered this name back in 2019 for $8.59.
Wow. And that's so cool.
And back then, I was registering a bunch of DeFi names because decentralized finance was coming out, and I'm a finance guy, so I guess back then I kind of knew about it. And I hand registered a bunch of DeFi names, and DeFi U and DeFi University was another one I still own. So on these kind of names, when they're like, you're in this kind of hype phase, like there was back then for DeFi, I just tend to price high just to see what I can get because of the irrational behavior of the buyers out there, and what they're willing to pay if they've got some recent funding or again, they're a well-to-do spinoff from another company. So I'm going to start high and anchor them that way and see if I can get that kind of price. And I think I had this one priced at like 44,000 or something like that, or 48,000, probably around there. But we did negotiate on this one. They did not just do buy it now. They negotiated with me.
And where did you have it listed?
Sorry, JT. That's what I was going to say. Like, I was just wondering. So it was 44 listed. And then I'm just wondering, so where did they come in? Before, like, and what was that negotiation like? If you can share it, yeah.
I don't recall because this did come through Afternic Brokers, so they were, you know, relaying information to me, and I was holding firm on, you know, to a certain degree. I tend to not do below 80% of what my bin number is. I usually hold out for that, and then if I can't get there, I wait for another buyer to come along. But in this case, I was holding out probably to 80% or 90%, probably whatever it was, the number was. And so that it really was the Afternic broker who was working them up to that 38.5 against my anchor price of 44 or 48, whatever it was.
Wow. Well, good for you, man. I think everything about that's great. And shout out to Afternic. I mean, I appreciate when those guys.
Yeah, hell of a sale.
Yeah. And I appreciate when they put in that work to just, you know, not get you down. Well, to get them.
Look, shout out Afternic. Shout out my boy, Aaron. Okay. However. Let's not give too much credit, okay? In my experience, 99.9% of the time, they're trying to fucking convince me to undersell my name, not convince the buyer to pay up, okay?
Yeah, that's why didn't I just say that? I said shout out to them.
Everybody can do better, all right?
Okay,
I'm not big on... You know, here, let's give you some flowers.
Yeah, okay.
Like, no, right, come on, but let's go.
The other thing is,
sell these names for what they're worth.
Tell them, Jen.
Can I just say, all right, so no, but there is something to consider as a domain investor in this scenario when an offer or negotiation comes through a third party platform that has a very high commission, because you have to take that into consideration because you know that you're taking money off the table, potentially up to 20 to 25% of what this person is offering, because that is the commission they're taking. It's just something that I'm dealing with at the moment in a particular deal where it's come through a third-party platform and I know that they have that broker has a very high commission. So I'm thinking, okay, well, do I wait it out? until that lead comes to me directly, because they will eventually. They will get bored. They will, if they're not getting any traction or getting anywhere with that broker, they might try another broker. They might take a break, come back. Eventually, in my experience, sometimes it's 6 months down the track. They've got nowhere else to go and they're like, okay, we're going to have to give up our identity. We're going to have to deal with the actual seller broker because we are in a position where we're like, well, we don't want to take 20 to 25% off the table. So do you guys consider that when, do you consider that like when you're dealing with particular platforms and brokers, like are you taking into account what they're taking off the table? I'm interested.
No. So Logan, you want to say something?
No, go ahead. Good.
Okay. So I'm not upfront. I will not say that this is the right approach. Okay. Clearly, the more optimized, the more thoughtful approach is the one you're saying. However, in my experience, because we're in the domain, and people don't understand domains, they don't understand the pathways, they don't understand the transaction processes, they don't understand the ownership, they don't understand who the people are. There's just a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty is the enemy of commerce, okay? Uncertainty, I would say, is the single greatest enemy of successful, efficient commerce. So I do not put a lot of faith in the buyer, except in those exceptional circumstances where the domain is a must-have. But if the domain is not a must-have, which it rarely is, then I don't put a lot of faith in their ability to come and track me down 6 months down the road. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It certainly does. But I am I'm a believer in a bird in the hand. And so, look, if we're talking about a four or a five-figure domain name, I don't really take into consideration the commission at all, not whatsoever, because at the end of the day, I want to remind everybody that never before in the history of mankind has the seller ever paid a commission, ever in the history of mankind. I don't care if the broker represents the buyer. I don't care if the broker represents the seller. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's a marketplace. Never before in human history has a seller ever paid a commission. It is always paid by the buyer. Whatever the terms are, the money is coming out of the buyer's pocket. And so the buyer determines the total amount that they're willing to pay for a particular thing, be it a domain name or whatever else. And then they're going to decide if there is a price to value relationship that they can get comfortable with. And so the commission is irrelevant to the buyer and therefore should be irrelevant to me. Now, the only place like above a certain amount, if we're talking about 25% at GoDaddy, I'm never going to pay 25%. And so therefore, I'm just not going to list my names unless I'm willing to put my names on their name servers, et cetera, and the whole thing.
Okay.
But for the most part, I will, the commission, Jen, I'm just trying to finish you asked a question. I'm finishing that thought. So I don't think the commission really plays a role. Now, if you're getting into big numbers, it's a different story, but for the most part, so I don't take it into account.
Okay. You made a good point that I didn't point out. You made a great point. When it comes to those smaller figures, like four to fives, whatever, who cares? And you're right. So when it is a four to five sale or a negotiation, those people typically, like the knowledge base within them, they're going to somehow trip upon this like GoDaddy buy service. The situation that I'm in, though, this is kind of like a quarter of $1 million plus sale. So these people, in my mind, it's a 50-50 to me. So they can either be that person that you've described who doesn't really understand the landscape. They'd rather go through a big brand. They feel like this person's going to take care of them. Fine. Or they're very educated and they're wanting to have anonymity. They're happy to pay that commission to this person. So that's, I agree with you. Like when it is like the lower scale of the sale, sure, I don't mind with those sales and paying out commissions because you're right, like they're aware, but they're not aware. But when it comes to the higher end stuff, that's when I have to start asking some questions.
No, I think it's a good point. I think both sides are interesting. You know, for me, this is actually what I was saying before, shout out to After Nick for working the buyer and getting the price up closer to where, you know, the anchor price or what have you, as opposed to, you know, it sounded like as opposed to spending the time trying to beat up Logan to get his price to, you know, to knock the price down. So that's all I was saying. But that's, it's an interesting point about sort of the sophistication, the desire and the resourcefulness on the part of the buyer to circumvent the broker. Depending. So Jen, are you talking about names that are parked with Afternic, like Afternic Landers, or are you talking about names with Evergreen Landers?
No, these are Evergreen Landers. So people who have actually chosen to go through their buy service to protect their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So they, in my mind, are educated buyers. They know what they're doing because they would have gone to the lander and seen that there is an inquiry form there to begin a negotiation or an inquiry, but they've chosen to go on down a different route. So then I have to think to myself, why?
I read that differently. I read that differently. I actually, for the exact same reason, believe that that tells me that it is an uneducated buyer.
Really?
Yes. Because it's literally just, or maybe they're just saying, yeah, I'm perfectly comfortable to pay an extra 15 or 20%. But it's a phenomenon in domain names that I will probably never understand. But we did the same. We had all our names on our own landers and conversion rate went down. And so I put them back on Afternic. Conversion went right up 300%. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I can tell you that the vast majority of people are not going to be well-educated buyers. And so if my conversion rate is increasing that much simply by having them on a Afternic/GoDaddy lander, you know, there's a few conclusions that I come to. One is that, you know, most of these buyers are not educated. Number two, there is value in the GoDaddy branding and trust. And three, there is likely value in the ability to quickly transact with a credit card versus, you know, going through like an escrow and dealing with, you know, human contact, right? A lot of these people really, actually, their preference is literally just that they don't want human contact. They don't want to have an email exchange. They don't want to get on the phone. They just want to bang it with a credit card and move on. They don't care about you. They don't want to have a fucking conversation. They don't anything. Yeah, they don't even want to fucking talk about the price. They just want
four to five figures. That makes sense. Okay.
Yep.
But when you get into a quarter of $1 million or over, that requires a conversation.
It's true. Probably the circumstances change. But the weird thing, which is to no end frustrating to me and likely to you as well, is that it actually doesn't change with the big names. For the most part, it doesn't change. It's just the behavior is the same. In my experience,
at the highest end, they will definitely, like, in my experience, like there's some like game playing going on at the beginning.
Absolutely.
But if you've got the patience and they will always come and find you. That's in my experience. Like if I put my foot down and go, nope. Like they can see what
the domain has, especially if the domain is worth it.
But let's break that down to first principles. Why does it change at the highest end? Again, in my opinion, the only reason it changes is that what we're doing is we're shifting from something that is a nice to have or an optional choice to something that's a must have. That's the only difference. Right. The difference is it's less about the amount of money. It's about the sophistication of the buyer and the fact that this is a must-have versus a nice-to-have. And so In those cases, the leverage changes. Now the leverage is in the hands of the owner as opposed to the buyer.
Right. Yep. I agree with that.
Logan, so I was going to ask you then for what, you know, what's your kind of approach go to, not to recap everything they just talked about or pick a side, but
Logan.
So are you listing your names with,
I don't think we're saying different.
No, I was more kidding than it.
We're not.
I think I'm just joking. Trying to analyze the reasons why, or, you know, why do you see buyer behavior in certain areas?
And it's fascinating, the psychology behind it all and why they do what they do. Like, that's, yeah. And I totally agree with you. I do think it is about sophistication, timing, convenience, price points. There are so many different circumstances that come into play. It's hard to really just put it down to it's this or it's that, you know.
No, so Logan, what's your approach? Is it listed after Nick Park or GoDaddy? What's your what are you typically finding? And especially with your CCTLDs, like, do you have a different approach because you're doing a lot of CCTLD stuff?
I pretty much do all buy it now, and I'm doing it all at After Nick Landers. Okay. And that works pretty well for me. I used to price before GoDaddy bought Dan, and Dan only had a 9% commission. I used to have lower prices on the Dan Landers and higher prices in the marketplace at After Nick and even Sato. And I would still have people avoid the Dan Lander and go buy it at GoDaddy at the higher price. Because they trust the GoDaddy brand, and GoDaddy's equity in their brand is just huge. And so it feels safe. The buyers feel safer going through GoDaddy instead of talking to us directly. And so I just try to feed into that as much as possible, because I love the fact that the After Nick Buy It Now Lander is actually on GoDaddy.com. The URL is basically on GoDaddy.com. So when they go to the landing page, they see GoDaddy right there. They're on the website. So it's just a very trustworthy, less, you know, frictionless, as much as possible, of a transaction for them. So I don't, you know, I'm happy to pay the 15%, whatever it is that GoDaddy charges now, because it's worth it for me.
Sure. Well, like you said, at the end of the day, or actually not like you said, like Drew said, at the end of the day, you're not paying the commission, the buyer is. Right, cool. So, well, good stuff. I love, this is real domain talk. You know, this is what it's all about.
Danica Patrick was worth every dollar in those Super Bowl ads, guys.
And it's not, this isn't easy for me to even really say, because, you know, I was very vocal when GoDaddy came out and said, look, we're going to make it, you know, it's 25% commission unless you were on our Landers. I was like, look, this is literally, and I still believe it is, you know, borderline unfair business practices, but,
ballsy.
You know, I mean, look, they're probably one lawsuit away from that having to change. But that being said, the brand equity is real. I have fully capitulated, much to the dismay of, you know, Chris and Matthew and our brokerage team, because, you know, I'm not sending them as many leads as I used to, because, you know, a lot of these names I've just put them on the After Nick Landers, because the conversion rate is just so much higher. And so it's the cost of doing business. You know, I don't really take, you know, the commission into account. I price a name for what I think the name should be priced at, and the commission I pay is the cost of doing business. So,
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
I think, say about that.
No, it's all good stuff. That's very good. All right, cool. Well, do you have a name to throw up for the domain game?
All right. Hydrotherapy.com. Hydrotherapy.com. I forgot we were even playing the domain game.
This is a buy or sell?
Okay. This is a sell.
Hydrotherapy.
Therapy.com.
It's a sell. This is a name from our legacy portfolio.
Had it a while.
So I'm actually out on this one. I've got some insight, so it's a bummer. I'm trying to win this game.
Okay. But just me
Hang
and
on.
Just you and Jen? Just you and Jen. It's a head to head.
Hydrotherapy. Okay. All right.
She's ready to go.
I don't know.
Here we go. Flip it. 3, 2, 1. Boom. Okay. All right. Jen's got $22,222. Logan's at $60,000.
Oh, wow.
Woo!
I want to give it to Logan, but it actually goes to Jen by a hair.
Damn.
Goes to Jen by a hair. But it really, you know, if this was Price is Right, Logan wins.
Yeah, of course. I thought it was worth more for sure. Oh,
no, Price is Right is the closest without going over.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I just thought when the
yeah, we should have had JT play. He doesn't even know when you said.
No, you said technically Logan wins.
Legacy. No, when you said
if it was Price is Right rules, Logan would win.
No. Price is Right rules, Logan wins. Yes.
What was the price?
What'd you sell it for?
The price was 40,000
rules.
My God. Okay. The price for $40,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means, closest to the pin without, you're right.
Whoa, she wins.
Billy, stop.
Yeah.
Do the whole thing where you do that.
Jen wins. No question about it. Jen wins. But I was thinking in my head that under Price is Right rules.
I get that. But hold on, Billy. Do the whole rewind thing. JT is right. Rewind. JT is right. You know, do all that. Then we can get back and we can continue.
Okay. The price was $40,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means, closest to the pin without, you're right.
I screwed myself because I had $50,000 and I rethought it and I put 60. I thought I didn't think Drew would sell a name like that one, which would have it's a pretty high ticket item. And I think that would go at a higher value.
Look, I will repeat, much to the dismay of everybody who, you know, all the haters. Okay. I put my money where my mouth is all the time on a daily basis. Okay. And so what do? We go over, we look at our SEO tools. Okay. We say, how many searches a month are there for hydrotherapy? Again, this is more of a descriptive commercial term than it is, let's say, an arbitrary brand, right? If it was, I don't know, great.com is not really a name you can price by looking at the data, right? It's like, it's an opportunity cost valuation. Whereas hydrotherapy is a commercial descriptive term, right? And so we look at the data. And the data says there are 16,000 people a month in the United States that search for the word hydrotherapy every month. It does not have a particularly exciting long tail, although there is certainly some substance there. Worldwide, there are 44,000 exact match searches per month for the domain name hydrotherapy. The number two place that it's searched for is India. So you can basically write that off. That's not a dig on India. It's just the commercial traffic of India is basically worthless, right?
Yeah.
So basically 16,000 people per month in the United States, 4,000 per month in the UK, 4,000 in Australia, 2,000 in Canada. That's your commercial audience.
Yeah.
And the cost per click that advertisers pay is only 60 cents. It's under a dollar. Which basically means that there's very few, if any, commercial enterprises that are buying that traffic, that are really competing for that traffic. There does appear to be some organic competition, but the domain, the difficulty, the ranking difficulty on Ahrefs is 51. Like, that's nothing. That's not a hard term, right? So that tells me that, you know, there. Let's say global demand is 44,000. At $40,000 sale price, I think I got 100% of the value of this name. In fact, I'd even argue if you do extrapolate out and you're looking at a cost per click that's under a dollar, it's only 60 cents, we probably sold this for about a 30% premium. So while at first glance, I agree, I look at hydrotherapy and I think, ooh, great name. You know, that clearly should be like a low six-figure name, at least high five figure. I go by the data. The data doesn't lie. right? Sometimes you undersell something because there is a subjective reason that your buyer wants this name and you're not aware of that. But you cannot build a business on that. Now, if you want to be Rick Schwartz and you want to just, and I'm not putting Rick down, clearly amazing strategy that has been successful. But I like to turn my inventory, okay? I've got, let's say, maybe there's 50 names that you're going to pay my price or you're going to pound sand, period, okay? But the rest of the stuff, I'm going to price it intelligently. I'm going to look at the data. I'm going to look at the commercial enterprises that are potential buyers for this domain, and I'm going to price it accordingly. And I think that Hydrotherapy has 44,000 global demand, only 16,000 in the US, and is only a 60-cent cost per click. $40,000. I think we had it priced at 49 and we got 40 and I think we got 100% of the value.
I think it's a good price.
Cool. Yeah. I should have stuck to my original 50,000.
Exactly. That's the moral of the story. So Jen basically is going to win regardless, but let me throw another name out there just because we want to give the viewers their money's worth. So since Jen doesn't have a name, I'm just going to pull a recent sale. Oh, you want to do another?
If you guys want to play.
Well, you know,
you guys, Logan. Yes. Yeah, let's Logan, if you've got
something. Then I get to guess.
Give it to us, baby.
Yeah, then I get to play. Which is okay. Still have a chance.
You get to this play and lose.
Which is really all he wanted was the ability to play.
The ability to purchase. taking it. By the way, DeFi
what he wanted was a participation trophy.
No, the ability to participate is different than the participation trophy. DeFiU is a badass site, by the way. It looks like a pretty cool blockchain, tool thing they've got going on.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to make one comment about the DeFi thing. You know, it is funny to me. It's funny to me that people, and this isn't a jab, Logan, but it's funny to me that, and clearly you were right to think this way because you sold the domain for $38,000, which, you know, proof's in the pudding, as they say. But it's funny to me that people think that it's because something is related to DeFi that it should have some material value. It is my experience that it's quite the opposite, meaning that if you think about what DeFi is, it means it is decentralized. There is no centralized party. And in order to achieve an exceptional sales price for anything, you need a centralized party that has an ego and an ambition to pay up for a premium domain name. And as the nature of decentralization is that there is no centralized party, and getting people who are decentralized, truly decentralized, to agree on anything is, you know, like herding cats, I find it somewhat ironic that anyone should think that something related to DeFi should sell at a premium as opposed to something which is centralized, if you catch my drift.
It is interesting. So, but go ahead, Logan, you got one for us. You said it was another sale.
Yes, it's another sale. You ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah, we're totally ready.
this one is perceptive.io.
Perceptive.io.
Perceptive.
PERCEPTIVE.io.
Perceptive. All right, I like it. All right. Ready to get this point.
No.
I mean, we'll see.
It's like brothers and sisters. Like, I just want to beat you like so bad.
So you should see me and my sister. Like, she's like you, where she's like, perceptive. So competitive. We can't play board games on holidays. It just gets crazy.
No, because people in my house, when we play Monopoly or, you know, like, people end up crying. So,
No. If we play Monopoly, I make people cry every time.
It's actually my 12-year-old that always wins. He's like, it's really wild.
Well, I know what we're doing next conference. Exactly. Monopoly. We're doing a Monopoly tournament.
By the way, I have always, so badly, I don't even really know why I haven't done it, but I've wanted to create a domain name Monopoly game so bad.
Oh,
domain names are so meant for Monopoly. Yeah. You know, yes. there's like, let's say the top, how many squares are on a Monopoly board? Maybe 60?
Like 40, 80? Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's like, top 50, 100 domain names in the world. Bop, You know, you got sex.com, you got love.com, art.com, home.com, you know, money.com.
Do it, Drew. Do it.
How cool would that be?
That's the coolest merch.
Yeah, and they're 40. 40 by the way, it is it's 40 squares. So do I get a point in the domain game for guessing how many squares?
The only problem is that I think our audience is probably limited to, like, you know, the couple thousand people that watch Domain Sherpa. Like, it's literally like nobody else on earth is ever buying domain name Monopoly.
I don't think you would make it to sell it. I think you make it to, like, give it away as, like, a cool, like, you know, like, we'll do a Media Options or Domain Sherpa branded domain Monopoly game. And
swag that nobody ever receives.
Yeah. Exactly.
Logan, come on, man. We were cool.
That could be the, you know, what's the pile of the cards with question mark?
Yeah. Chance.
Yeah, chance.
Merch never arrived. Merch never arrived. Go back three spaces. Yeah,
go back three spaces.
Oh, man. All right, wait, hold on. We still didn't. Let's go. We didn't guess on the name yet, right? Perceptive.io. You ready, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1. All right. Okay, so it's a sale. Jen has $7,777. I have $12,500. Drew's got $24,895. Logan, does Circle get the square? What is the deal?
Drew in.
Oh, man, you're doing your thing, man. Wow, look at that. I think you just came up here to flex. You know? You're just like, oh, man, I've been waiting for this invite to come up and show people what I do and how I do it. That's awesome.
It was a $29,995 buy it now.
Boom.
Yeah, we got to reprice and get our names, like all our names listed. And we went through a big old pricing exercise. It's still a work in progress. And so was that also through Afternic or was that through somewhere else?
Also through Afternic.
And then what did you pay for the name when you acquired it, if you can tell us? And how long did you hold it?
I held for 588 days. And I paid $605 at docy.ly back in February 2022.
Wow, good for you, dude. I love it. I love the acquisition, obviously. So meaning like the platform, right? So is that where'd you say you got it?
Docy.ly. It's a drop catch for ccTLDs, pretty much.
Yeah. No,
it's a competitor to Park. It's a competitor.
Yeah, well, that's what my guess would be that not too many people are familiar with it, right? And that's where I think is an interesting thing. When you talk about niche stuff, ccTLDs, I like ccTLDs better than, you know, so the new Gs, right? The ccTLDs are where IOs, AIs, VCs, you know, there's gold in them, there are hills, right? If you know how to mine for it. And I think that's a perfect example. So. Pretty cool, man. And that's one of the things here about Domain Sherpa that's really interesting. Hey, I tell people, you know,
just for clarification, though, when you say you're a heavy ccTLD investor, are you looking for what I call generic ccTLDs, like a .ai that doesn't actually represent the country code? It's more of a generic meaning. Or a .io, which is, again, more of a generic meaning. Most people probably don't even know that it represents Indian Ocean. So, or are you looking for .de's, you know, .uk's, .fr, things that represent